Welcome everyone, this is Rafael Hernandez and you are listening to Believe in Barcelona. So yeah guys, this was definitely one of the best weeks of the year for Barcelona. First of all, because I would say that very few of us actually expected Barcelona to be in this position during many times the season, and we can go back to the start of the season. I would say that very few of us would actually expect Barca to challenge for anything. Messi wanted to leave. We had a declining squad that simply wasn't renewed correctly. And of course, we at some point, Atletico Madrid was actually 12 points ahead of Barcelona in La Liga. So yeah, the overall feelings surrounding the club were really poor too. Bartomeu was still in power. And to think how things have actually changed since then is nothing short of amazing. Bartomeu leaving in October, we had the elections delayed, a lot of controversy with Tusquets, and finally Laporta winning the comeback and winning the Spanish Cup. Everything was just completely unexpected, and of course absolutely great. The cup win was amazing. When put into context, it was one of the hardest and most interesting cup wins ever for Barcelona. Simply amazing. And of course, now after the defeat at El Clásico, few would have expected Barça to be in a position where we can actually win the remaining 6 matches and we would be champions. But not only that, but actually we can win 5 matches and draw against Atletico Madrid and still win the La Liga. And this is such a privileged position. Real Madrid actually dropped points in 2 consecutive matches, and that was fantastic for us. And of course, we had the big win against Getafe. That fantastic first half, fantastic performance by Messi. And honestly, the drop-off in the second half was a bit worrying, but before I get to that, I want to discuss a little bit more of the situation that we had this season. And of course, what an unprecedented bottle job by Atletico Madrid. Of course, it's not set in stone yet that they're not going to win the league. Barca could lose matches, Barca could drop points. Absolutely, it's football. Anything could happen. And Sevilla are actually in a very good position to actually be challenging Real Madrid, Barcelona and Atleti for the title in the final 6 rounds. And this is quite crazy. This is quite unexpected. 5 rounds actually, because Barca needs to play the delayed match against Granada that was delayed because of the Spanish Cup final. So yeah, first of all, let us begin with the Getafe game. Overall, Messi was absolutely incredible in that first half. He created every single chance in that half. He dominated Getafe. He scored 2 amazing goals, and it was one of his finest performances the season, without a doubt. That was vintage Messi at his best. And not only Messi was great, but Frankie de Jong too. He was incredible. And overall, Frankie's year, his entire 2021 has been incredible. He's been one of the best players in the world this year, and no one seems to be talking about it. He deserves a lot of praise, because he's been played as a center back for part of this year, and he's actually performing very competently there in a back three. Not only that, but when he plays in his preferred position, he's been amazing too. And overall, he's like 3 of the world's best midfielders rolled into one. He can do everything. His drives and to bring the ball forward were absolutely incredible. And his participation on the goals too. He's everywhere. And this is exactly what Barca needed. Barca needs midfielders like Frankie, the kind of that can dominate the match, but dominate the match with the ball, not without it. Because there are many great to world-class midfielders in the world that can actually play very well without needing much of the ball. But Frankie is all about the ball. Even though without the ball, his marking, his defending has really improved for the past 2 years since he joined from Ajax. And overall, I'm really, really pleased with how he's playing lately. And of course, he was really unfortunate with his finishing against Villarreal. Absolutely. But he has a lot of credit with us. It's not something that worries me. And of course, it's not up to Frankie to actually finish chances. It's up to the forwards. Let us not forget that Barca has rarely relied on midfielders to score most of the team's goals. And of course, we are missing a center forward. We have missed it. We have missed someone like, Suarez for most of the season. Even though if Suarez had stayed, I've said it this many times before, I think that he would have performed very poorly. And it was time for him to leave. It was just unfortunate how he was actually basically, he suffered an expulsion. He was sent off from Barcelona, and that was very ungrateful at the club. It was one of the biggest Bartomeu mistakes, and maybe we might still regret it. I'm not sure. Maybe if we win La Liga, Suarez despicable exits from Barcelona the way that it was done will be forgotten. But overall, let us worry about that later. And of course, Pedri has really looked tired for the past few weeks. He's absolutely exhausted. He's gassed and he needs rest. It was really welcome to see Pedri actually rested against Villarreal for the second half for Ilaix Moriba. Absolutely, we need Pedri rested because the kid and Frankie have been playing almost all of Barcelona's matches since the start of the season. It's not easy physically for the players, let alone for a young player like him. And of course, one thing that really worries me about Pedri is not the drop in the quality of his performances, but the fact that maybe overplaying Pedri might actually cause damage to his body, much like of what happened to Michael Owen. And I would say that Owen is the best example of how overplaying can simply curtail a promising world-class player's career. But I would say we just have a few more matches remaining, thankfully, and then Pedri can get more rest. Maybe he will be rested against Granada too. And I want to praise Sergino Dest a lot. It was clear from the start that Barcelona wouldn't miss Semedo. I would say that right now, even Wolverhampton wouldn't be missing Semedo. He was always mediocre, below average at times. So yeah, he's not missed. And the way that Dest is playing lately, he's doing everything that Barcelona right back has to do when attacking. He takes risks. He loses the ball. Yes, but it's part of his creation. But he doesn't hide. He's always fighting for the ball. He's always trying to dribble. He's always trying to create something. And that is really praiseworthy. Absolutely wonderful. And his first half against Villarreal was incredible too. And of course, how can we forget those two goals against Real Sociedad too? Just incredible. This guy, he's a godsend for Barca. And of course, it's going to be much easier for Barca to pay 20 million for Ajax this summer. In case you don't know, Barca actually signed Dest from Ajax for around 400,000 euros, and the club was set to pay the rest of his transfer fee later because the club simply didn't have money. At least Bartomeu did something correctly, which is a big surprise. And speaking of surprises, Lenglet still is a liability. He scored that unfortunate goal against Getafe. I wouldn't put it on him, absolutely not. But it was vintage, or at least what we are expected of Lenglet during the season. He has made so many mistakes at the back, on goals, penalties, positional mistakes, and I really hope that we can actually recover Lenglet to his best. I'm not sure that we will, but I think that he deserves to stay at least for another season to prove himself in a better environment, because it has been a few chaotic years for Barca, and maybe he will develop better and recover his best form under a more stable environment at Barca. And of course, we have Pau Torres at the other side during the Villarreal match too. He's a very promising center back. Barca has had their eyes on Pau Torres for a long time now, and Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid too. So unfortunately, the club really doesn't have money. It has a lot of transfer fees to pay, a lot of loans to pay back. So I'm not expecting any kind of big sign in the summer. I just want to get this out of the way. And of course, we have Eric Garcia too. Eric Garcia is definitely coming. It's actually fantastic to see that Laporta is renegotiating the terms with Eric Garcia, because what Bartomeu actually tried to do with Eric Garcia, just shower the kid with money for him to sign for Barca, was really ridiculous. He hasn't even had a single full season of experience at the top level. That would be ridiculous. And of course, Busquets has been incredible. He's really picking up speed. And I would say that we are really overlooking Griezmann's season too, or to better put it, his year. He's having a fantastic year for Barca, Griezmann, that is. He opened the scoring in the cup final. He scored many key goals in the Spanish Cup, and now he's scoring many key goals, important goals for Barcelona in the league too. And of course, absolutely fantastic finish to level the score against Villarreal. And he was really smart to capitalize on another big mistake to put us ahead. That was fantastic. I still don't think that Griezmann is the perfect fit for Barcelona. Maybe he never will, but he is always willing to adapt. He doesn't give up. He's always trying. And it was good to see Messi actually giving the penalty to Griezmann. And of course, all of us wanted Messi to score the penalty and score his first hat-trick of the season, but Messi doesn't care about hat-tricks or records or anything like that. He cares about the team. And Griezmann actually answered Messi's kindness by scoring two goals against Villarreal, as I said. So it was a massive win for the entire team. And I want to speak a little bit about Ilaix Moriba too. He is one of those special kids from La Masia that Barca actually made an effort to keep at the club. I think that I said this in a previous podcast too, and it was clearly worth it. It's clear that Koeman trusts the guy, and every time that he comes on pitch, he is doing things right. His positioning is great, the way that he holds onto the ball. The way that he plays in possession is absolutely fantastic. And it was really interesting to see that Ilaix was actually covering Jordi Alba at times during the second half against Villarreal. Alba has a tendency to go forward and simply forget to defend, and Ilaix was there in his position covering. And this was really smart for a kid of his age. And little by little, so I am starting to get convinced that players like Pedri, Moriba, and Mingueza, Araujo, they definitely have a place for the future of Barcelona. They all proved that they're all proving themselves in the hardest conditions possible. This was set to be a calamitous season for Barca, and the kids are stepping up. This is just fantastic to see the kids showing a lot of character, and already praised Mingueza in the previous podcast episodes, but I want to do it again. He is doing things right all the time, and that assist for Griezmann to level the score against Villarreal, absolutely incredible. The guy has a lot of character. Maybe I really don't like to make this comparison, but maybe we have someone like Puyol, someone that is going to be similar to Puyol in our hands, because Puyol was always a technically he was gifted. He was always a solid player, absolutely, but he was never, I would say, technically he was never a perfect center back, and he made up by never giving up, his mentality, his effort, his will. And I see a lot of that in Mingus, and it really excites me. And yeah, I want to go back to and say that I didn't believe in Mingueza when he started playing. I thought that he was just going to be some La Masia player that we are going to even forget in a few years. And I'm glad that I was proven wrong, absolutely. But overall, guys, I would say it's been a really pleasant week for Barca. Now the league is in our reach, we can actually do this. We could actually finish the season actually winning the double, and that is unthinkable. That is miraculous, to say the least. And everything is in our hands. We have the Granada match in midweek, and then things start to get tougher. You have Valencia away and Atletico at home, and then Celta and Levante too. So, all of these matches are really winnable. Can we win them all? Yes, I'm confident. And of course, we have Messi. And with Messi, everything is easier. Everything is possible. And the form and the confidence of the thing after the Spanish Cup win has really taken a turn for the better too. So, overall, I'm really happy with that. And we can absolutely end up with the double. And once again, this is really shocking to say. And by the way, I really apologize. I think that by now you have heard my dog barking on the background, and I really tried to lock him up, but his barking is just too loud, guys. Sorry. So this is what you get from me on the league campaign and all of that. And before I go, I want to also comment a little bit about the Super League. In case you don't know, I was really vocal on Twitter on how I was in favor of it. And before you lose, before you actually get mad with me, just listen to it a little bit so I can explain my reasons. So first of all, the way that the Super League was announced was really precarious. It was pathetic. Just at the end of Sunday, and then it was just one of the biggest PR disasters that I ever seen in my life. It was awful how things were done, and if it was done with a little bit more tact and more transparency, things could have happened. And I am confident that nothing is going to happen, at least not for now. Football is going to stay as it is. Or at least I wish it would, because the changes for the Champions League into 2024 are coming either way. Maybe they will be pushed forward to please the big clubs. And now to explain why I support the Super League, I have a very different view of the future of the sport as many fans. First of all, because I think that football isn't about the fans anymore. It's been a few decades already. And of course, fans are important. They should be the most important thing in football. Yes, absolutely. I will always agree with that. But it's not that simple anymore, because after the Bosman ruling and the rebranding of the English Division 1 to the Premier League, and the involvement of Sky in the TV rights for the Premier League and everything, it really changed the landscape of football. And now what we are seeing with the rise of the internet, and now of course the massification of social media too, everyone has a phone in their pockets, everyone has profiles on social media. So basically the biggest clubs in the world are simply becoming bigger and bigger by the day. They are gathering a lot more strength, a lot more money, a lot more fans than others. And I was being optimistic about the Super League if it was done correctly, not like the way it was announced. If things were transparent and there was actually no founding members, no fixed positions for these historical clubs, I think it was ridiculous the way that it was announced. It wasn't going to work, and there were 12 clubs under the three invited, and how about the other five? Things just didn't make sense. It was all very poorly explained, and this was going to be a midweek competition. It wasn't going to end the leagues yet. If you ask many people about it, many were actually thinking that the leagues were going to end and we were just going to have a competition all year of the same clubs, and absolutely that would have been catastrophic. And I can understand why people who misinterpreted things. It was the fault of the organizers of the Super League. This is on Florentino Perez, on Agnelli, and all the others involved. It was just really poorly executed. It was an embarrassment. So getting back to things, I would say that the super clubs and the lack of equality between the richest and the poorest is getting wider, not only in football, but in football and in the world as a whole. I mean, I'm sure we have never had so many billionaires in the world, and we are seeing this in football too, because Real Madrid, Barca, and Manchester United, Liverpool, and by other clubs, they are the billionaires of the football world, and then we have some millionaires. Yes, absolutely, clubs like Leicester are a good example of that, but at Everton too, but they have a lot less money, a lot less pull, and this will only get worse. I would say that maybe in 10 years we are just going to have always the same results in most of the leagues, in Serie A in Italy, in the Bundesliga, it is already happening, and we already see it in France, unless PSG actually manages to bottle another league title. So overall, I think that this could have been a chance for the biggest clubs in the world to actually have a league for themselves midweek, compete in their country leagues, and do not participate in the cups. I would say leave the cups for the smaller clubs, and basically, I would say that it would drive more interest to football as a whole, because, okay, most of the superficial football fans, because not everyone that is a football fan is simply a diehard fan, right? So most of the casual football fans or the occasional watchers are just going to tune in for the Super League. They always do it, and they already do it. They only focus on the big clashes in the Premier League and the big semifinals and final, and sometimes quarterfinals in the Champions League. That wasn't going to change. So maybe a system that would actually could support the lesser clubs. But overall, this is just a talk for another day. Maybe dedicate a full podcast episode to actually explain my reasoning. But to put things simple, I am just of the mind that football is already far gone. We already have the clubs with too much money concentrated on their hands, and the inequality is just going to get worse. So maybe it would be good if we could actually separate these clubs. One thing is for sure, guys, we need solutions. Changes to the game. And of course, ideally, I'm not in favor of a Super League. I would say a Super League is what I see as the most feasible, but it's not the best decision. In my opinion, I would actually implement a limit to transfer fees, a limit to salaries, a limit to agent fees, and a limit to spending overall, and maybe even make the clubs actually they have to give away part of their profits to grassroots football in their countries. This is always welcome to actually invest in academies and raising more footballers. So it could get to the point where someday we could actually see 5 to 8 really strong teams on each league, we already have six strong things in clubs in England, and maybe I would have liked to see this in another leagues, but this is really unlikely. But one thing is for certain, drastic change is coming to football in the next decade, and I'm afraid there is nothing we can do to stop it, because the people that push the Super League, they're going to learn and they're going to try to implement it again. So this is what you're getting from me today, guys. Always a pleasure to be recording this podcast. I'm a day late, but I just couldn't record it yesterday. So take care, my friends. See you on social media, and fingers crossed that Barca ends up lifting the double.